Oh, we praise you, Father. Let's praise him right now. Just right out of your heart right now. Just praise him. Just magnify the Lord. Just out of your heart right now. Just bless the Lord. He's been good to you. Glory to God. He's brought you this far. We bless you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Magnify your name, O Lord. You are worthy, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We praise you tonight. Glorify you tonight. Thank you, Lord. We dwell on the good things that you have done in our lives tonight. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you that you're doing wonderful things in the lives of your people this day. We know you're going to do it on another day too, should you tarry. But we know this, we have confidence. Today is a day that you will do good things and have been doing good things in the lives of your people. And we thank you that you're moving through your people to help those that are in need. Father, we thank you that your goodness can be displayed through your people to others. Let it be a witness of the love that you have for people. We praise you now in Jesus' name. Thank you now, Father, that you grant us the ability to speak the good news in this place tonight. May people receive what they need. May people be ministered to and lives changed in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, you could be seated tonight. It is wonderful to see all of you here tonight. It's a Father's Day. It's a holiday. But we thank you for being here tonight. I think it's always special when people decide to go to church on a holiday. And not just on Sunday morning, but when it's Sunday evening, you know. So we know that God has, I believe, a great blessing for you as you pursue what he has for you. That he will reward your hunger and thirst for the things of God. How many of you got a longing on the inside for the things of God? Amen and amen. And so tonight, I want to begin by telling you about this lady that I heard that was at Disney World with her children. And one of her children was continually crying and fussing and generally being unhappy with everything, and nothing was pleasing to him. And after a while, she was overheard to say to the child, "You will get happy. We've come too far and we've spent too much money to be here, so you will get happy now." And so it reminded me of a scripture in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Paul is writing, and he is writing while he's in prison, extremely adverse conditions that he's in. And yet he instructs us with these words. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Everybody say, always. Always. Matter of fact, let me start over and you read it with me. He says here, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice." Isn't that right? Now, the Message version says it this way: "Celebrate God all day, every day. I mean, revel in him." First, Paul tells us to always rejoice. Always. When did he say to do it? Always. And then it is as if he says, I'm telling you, you better rejoice now. I can just hear him say it. Paul's message in this verse is, now is the time to rejoice. That's his message. Now is the time to rejoice. We know that, matter of fact, that's what I'm calling my message, the title of my message, now is the time to rejoice. I know it's theologically deep, and some of you will have to study that, but that's okay. Study never hurts anybody. But you know, some people seem to be naturally grouchy and negative. Do you ever meet somebody like that? It seems like, you know, if God's ever going to use them, he's going to have to do a complete makeover with them. Isn't that the truth? I remember when I was working at the factory, we had a guy named Richard. He's in heaven now, and I'm sure he's infinitely happier than what he was when he was at the factory. Matter of fact, he was extremely negative. He was extremely grouchy. And I took upon the mission upon myself to get him to say good morning. And so I remember the next morning and many mornings to come, I would see Richard as I came in and I would say, good morning, Richard. It's a great day, isn't it? And that was about all you get out of it, a grunt. So all you got out of him was a grunt. But I kept at it. It's my mission. It's one of my purposes for being there is to get Richard to say good morning, to be happy, to cheer up. And finally, one morning, he grudgingly said, morning. When I left, he was grudgingly saying good morning. You know, when he first started saying it, it seemed like he was in pain when he said it. It hurt him. You know, abdominal area hurt or something, you know, just... It hurt on the way out, you know, as it came out. But he got saved. That made a lot of difference. And they say, it was after I quit working there and came to Rhema as a student, they say he got much happier and less negative, more positive. Now, let me just tell you about Richard did not steal it. His dad was one of the most negative, problem-finding. I mean, he was an expert at finding problems and having no solutions. And so Richard just kind of, you know, grew up with that. And so he had a lot to change, you know. He's in heaven now. Doesn't have anything to be unhappy about, you know. And some people are just have a bigger battle in this area than others. And I don't want to make light of that fact because people deal with things and people struggle with things and people have problems. Some people, I find, are waiting for a feeling or an emotion to appear. They want to feel something before they start acting happy, rejoicing. And so, consequently, they don't understand that feelings are designed to follow. They're not leaders. Feelings will follow. If you start acting happy, you'll start feeling happy. If you start rejoicing, your feelings are going to catch on. Say, oh yeah, I'm going to join the crowd. But don't count on your feelings being good leaders. Isn't that right? So don't wait on your emotions. Don't wait on your feelings before you decide to be happy. A lady went to her doctor because she wasn't feeling good. And the doctor asked her, do you wake up grumpy in the morning? And she said, no, I let him sleep as long as he wants. You know, some people are waiting for a feeling, an emotion, before they decide to get happy. And then others, they're saying, you know, when I get through this situation, I'm going to be happy. They're waiting for their circumstances to change. And Israel found themselves in that condition in Psalms 126, if you'll turn there. It describes a situation that they found themselves in, and it was a time when they decided to be happy. God moved in that situation, and they became a happy people. They rejoiced in the Lord. In Psalms 126, it's very evident as you read it, you'll find that it happened at a particular time. Israel had not obeyed God very well. They had worshipped idols. They ended up being taken captive over into Babylon. And later on, it would as history is being put together, the historians put it together, we see that there was a number, there were the number of people that were allowed to go back to the homeland again. Now, not all of them came at once. I don't know whether all of them were not allowed or whether they chose to stay in exile or what it was. But we see that this is written by some of those who came back home. And we pick it up in verse 1. It says, when the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, that is Israel, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. And then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. Say this with me. We are glad. Now, the Message version. I'm going to go over to the Message version, read verses 1 through 3. It says, it seemed like a dream too good to be true when God returned Zion's exiles. We laughed, we sang, we couldn't believe our good fortune. We were like the talk of the nations. God was wonderful to them. God was wonderful to us. We are one happy people. And so we see that Israel had reason to rejoice because God had brought Israel back from captivity. Now, I didn't notice it's interesting in this, in verse 1, it did not say when the Lord brought back the captivity of Israel or the captivity of the Jews. He didn't say that. He said the captivity of Zion. I think that's particularly important because Zion is a direct reference to Israel, but it is also a reference to the church. And so we need to see ourselves in this particular scripture. When the Lord brought back the captivity of God's people, we could say it that way, of the church people, people who had been in bondage, people who had been in captivity. Satan had gotten them hold of their lives and caused them to be bound in areas. And the Lord turned their captivities and released them and set them free. And it says we were rejoicing because, it says here, because we were set free. And I want to tell you something tonight. If you've ever been bound by anything, it could be as simple as a habit. It could be as simple as certain thought life. It could be as simple as worry. It doesn't have to be a big thing before it can become a challenge to people's lives. It can be fear. Of course, we call our problem, we're really good at calling our problems other names. But I found out that if you really want to deal with a problem, you got to name it for what it is. You got to be honest about it. Don't try to find a better sounding name so it's easier to live with. Amen. So you see, we need to recognize that God has brought Israel out of captivity here, And they are rejoicing because they've been brought out. And then in verse 4 and 5 of that chapter, it says, "Bring back our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy." Amen. Message version says, "Now, God, do it again." Amen. Say it with me. God, do it again. Oh, say it again. God, do it again. One more time. God, do it again. So, what did they mean by that? Well, this is where it would seem that not everybody has come home yet. And the cry is this: what you did for us, do it for them too. Isn't that a great thing? The concern for the fellow people, for their fellow man, you know, that's something that we ought to express. Has God set you free? Then I believe there ought to be a cry in your heart. God, do it for somebody else. What you did in me, do it for others. God, I know you did it for me, and I know you can do it for somebody else. What you did for me, if you did it for me, surely you can do it for others. Isn't that right? And he goes on. He says this. I think in the Message version it says, "Now God, do it again. Bring rains to our drought-stricken lives, so those who planted their crops in despair will shout hurrahs at the harvest." What does that mean? It means simply this: that there was those who had many tears as they lived in exile. They sowed tears in exile. But now they have the opportunity to reap with joy that God had moved in their lives. It's as if they sowed a crop, and even in the midst of the trials and the drought stricken test, the fiery trials of faith, and they wondered if God could come through, and he did. And they're saying, "God, do it again. Do it for the others. Come on, keep moving." Amen. And then finally, verse 6, we read this. And it seems that as we read this, that they're not talking necessarily about their situation. They're talking about, in general now, the principle upon which God is moving here and causing them to rejoice. They said this: "He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." And again, the Message, I love this. The Message version says it this way: "So those who went off with heavy hearts will come home laughing with armloads of blessing." Isn't that something? You know, Israel had reason to rejoice. They shouted, they laughed, they cried, tears of joy, you know. They jumped, I'm sure they jumped, they danced, they knelt in awe at what God had done. I'm not sure what all they did, you know. You know, if you ever notice people that get under the influence? You know, ever watch somebody at the influence? Recently, we were in an event somewhere, and my wife and I, and it was a sports event, and I won't tell you where it was because I don't want to. Anyway, wasn't it the Drillers game? Okay, that we had the other night, wasn't there? But we got as much amusement out of watching those who were under the influence in the crowd as we did the sports event. They did a number of things. People respond differently under the influence. And I want to tell you, I've noticed this, that people respond differently under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And some express their joy in different ways. Some get quiet in awe before God. They don't have much to say because they're so overcome with what God had done. Others leap and shout. They're demonstrative with all of their expressions of joy. Some are quiet. Some are loud. The building's hardly big enough for them. And others, you know, they just kind of hold still. And, you know. But I want to tell you something. It was time for Israel to rejoice because God had moved. Amen. It was time for Israel to celebrate because God had moved and brought them out of a hopeless situation. Out, he had made a way where the devil said, there is no way. I've shut the door. This is where you're going to be. Ha, 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 ha. But God broke the doors open and brought them out. Amen. And I'm reminded of this. You know, and it may have seemed day after day, they were there with not much change, challenged in living. Matter of fact, there's another psalm says it this way, that says to this effect, that we have no song. How can we sing in a land that we don't belong in? And sometimes we find ourselves in a place, a situation, where it feels like nobody wants us. Nobody notices us. We're a somebody that doesn't really seem to fit in or belong, and we have no song. But I want to tell you something. Listen to me. Listen to me. Somebody cried out to God while they were still in exile and called upon the name of the Lord. And the door opened up for them to come back. Let me tell you this. Most people will wait until their situation changes before they start rejoicing. And certainly that's a great time to rejoice. But I want to tell you something today. Listen to me. There's a greater time to rejoice than just after your situation changes. There's a time to rejoice even while God has not moved yet. It's a time to rejoice. Turn with me to Psalms 118. Psalms 118, we'll find our place in verse 22. And I want to just encourage you tonight. I hope you're getting something out of this. Psalms 118, verse 22. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Verse 23. This is God's work. Or this is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Verse 24. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. The Message version again says it this way. The stone the masons discarded as flawed is now the capstone. This is God's work. We rub our eyes. We can hardly believe it. This is the very day God acted. Let's celebrate and be festive. Now let's look at this just for a few moments. We got a few minutes left, and I just want to encourage you. And that is this, the stone which, verse 22, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. It is a reference to Christ. It is He who's the chief cornerstone. He is the one that was the capstone. He is the one that has, by Him being the one who hung on the cross, the one who died in our stead, the one who rose again. He is the one that has determined the life that we can now have. It is from Him that all that we can receive from God comes through. He is the cornerstone by which all the other living stones that we are fitted together to make up the spiritual house of God.
He who was rejected has now become the salvation for all who will accept him. Isn't that the wonderful thing that God can take that which did not seem qualified in the eyes of man and made him the instrument of salvation for all of mankind? So much for what we know. How many of you would have thought to bring the Savior of the world in the form of a babe? Slip him in under the nose of the enemy, so to speak, and have him right there grow up and the religious leaders are oblivious to it. And so it's amazing. The plans of God are infinitely better than our thoughts are. And I want to tell you something. God gave you a brain to use, but it ought to be in line with that which God has planned. Amen? So we need to recognize the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. And so that's the reference of time that we have here in these verses. And then in verse 23, this was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. What is he talking about? This is referring to the marvelous plan of salvation, the awesome plan of redemption, which God has brought to mankind through Christ. Now get a hold of this. See, only God can take Christ, whom the religious leaders rejected, and make him the cornerstone of our salvation. That is, everything that we need from God comes through him. He is the yes to everything. When we come up with a request to God, Father, I'm asking you for this. Let me tell you something. God will give it to you on the basis of what Jesus did. Amen. And you got to learn. You got to learn to depend on what Jesus did. Not just on what you do. Because you see, if you depend on what you do, why would you need Jesus? Do you know what I'm saying? I want you to realize that what Jesus did is infinitely important to us. It's everything to us. Absolutely. It is marvelous. If we get tired of hearing about Jesus and what he did for us, friend, you really don't know what he did for you. You really haven't got the revelation yet. I'm encouraging you to get hold of that. If it's just something, oh no, he's going to talk about that again. You know what I'm saying? If that goes off in your heart when certain scriptures are, oh my goodness, I've heard that 1,000 times. Or as one of my fellow Bible school students in a certain school, not Rhema, said when he heard what the professor was going to teach on, he said, I've already heard that. See, if we're not careful, we hear it, and then we get familiar with it, we get a little bit of revelation, and then our mind plays tricks on us. And all of a sudden, our mind is incapable of understanding that what we have is very small compared to the revelation that's still to be learned from that scripture. So we need to recognize that however many times we've heard it, there's still something to learn, still something to get out of that. And so we finally come to verse 24, and it says, this is the day that the Lord has made. That word right there, the word day right there, is really not talking about a particular day so much as it is the time that we're living in. Because how many of you know that if you read that verse yesterday, it would be true about yesterday. If you read it today, it's going to be true about today. If you read it tomorrow, it'll be true about that day. Isn't that right? So really, it's talking about the time period we're now in. Listen to this. The time period we're now in since Jesus hung on the cross. We are now in the age, the time of Jesus being the chief cornerstone and all of us being lively, living stones that make up the house of God. We're all in this together. And so now is the time to rejoice and be glad. Why? Because everything that we need comes through the cornerstone. Everything flows. You and I are connected together in the body by the Spirit. Amen. And I think we ought to rejoice. It is time to rejoice. That's the problem. We've been looking to our situations for a reason to rejoice. The Bible didn't tell you to rejoice because of your situation. The Bible didn't tell you to rejoice because of the way you feel. How many of you have ever woke up happy? I have. I've also woke up otherwise. More times otherwise than... You know what I'm saying? But I want to tell you something. Listen to me. God did not tell me to rejoice because of the way I feel. God did not tell me to rejoice because I have certain emotions that are manifesting in my life. God did not tell me to rejoice because I experienced favor somewhere. God did not tell me to rejoice because somehow my needs were met. God did not tell me to rejoice because I got healing in my body. God said to rejoice because this is the time that we're, because of the time that we're living in, because of what Jesus did for us. We're to rejoice in Him, in the Lord, because of Him, what we receive from Him. Let me tell you, it matters not what your situation is. You can still rejoice in Him. Come on now. Let me tell you something. You may have something hurting in your body, but you can still rejoice that God is your healer. You listen, if you have more bills than money, let me tell you, you can still rejoice that God is the one who supplies all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He is our shepherd. We do not lack for anything. Amen. Glory to God. Let me tell you something. While you're still bound with a habit that you seem to struggle with all the time, let me tell you something. I believe it's time that you begin to rejoice in the Lord. I believe it's time that you rejoice that God is the deliverer. He's the one that sets you free. He's the one that rips those cords off of you and causes you to rise up in freedom and liberty and rejoice in the Lord. Hallelujah. It is time. It is time. I said it is time to rejoice in the Lord. Stand with me. We're just around out of time because you see, you ought to realize what Jesus did for you. He made a way for those who were lost to be found. He made a way for those who were bound to be free. He made a way for those who were captive to be set free. He made a way for those who didn't know what they were going to do next to have solutions and doors open, and there would be things happen that they had no idea. God is infinitely bigger than your problem. And I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me right now. Don't wait for God to move. Begin to rejoice in God. You've already got the answer. It's in Him. It's in Him. I said it's in Him. I said that your answer's in Him. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in Him because the answer's in Him. You got Him. I said you have Him. He's in your heart. He's in your lives. Rejoice now, because now is the time to rejoice. Why is that? Because everything you need is in Him. Everything you need is in Him. I said everything you need is in Him. Hallelujah. Some of you have been waiting, but I got new good news for you. You don't have to wait anymore. I found the answer for you. It is in Him. In Him there's healing. In Him there's deliverance. In Him there's protection. In Him there's provision. In Him there's everything you need. In Him is that husband you need. In Him is that wife you need. In Him is everything you need. Glory. I think I'm preaching better than you're rejoicing. Come on now. Somebody ought to rejoice in this place. Somebody ought to lift a voice and cry out to God and begin to rejoice. Hallelujah. 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 Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Woo. Hallelujah. Some of you have been waiting to laugh until after your problems are solved. You've been walking around with that look. I got problems. I got problems. I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me. All that look gets you is somebody else looking at you. Oh, they got problems. I want to tell you something. Listen to me. The key is to learn to rejoice and be glad in the Lord. Even when you don't see anything. Even when you don't see anything. I said even when you don't see anything. It's time to look happy. It's time to get a smile. It's time to begin to rejoice. Somebody ought to jump a little bit. Somebody ought to run a little bit. Somebody ought to dance a little bit. Somebody ought to shout a little bit. Why? Because there's some good things flowing in your life. However, you ought to rejoice. You ought to rejoice. Come on now. Some of you have been waiting too long. The devil lied to you. You could have had it a long time ago, but you were waiting. I'm telling you, lift your hands and begin to shout to the Lord and begin to thank God. Today is the day that I will rejoice. I am glad in Him. Come on now. Come on now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, now let me tell you a little secret. Most of you are watching me see what I'm doing. See, but you got to get past that. Yeah. You gotta do what you gotta do. You gotta rejoice in the Lord. You say, well, I'm gonna rejoice as long as He does. Let me tell you something. Don't let me hold you back. I'm not facing what you're facing. Come on now. Some of you need to rejoice a little longer. Come on now. Yep, 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 yep. Woo! Just go ahead and help yourself. I said go ahead and help yourself. I'm rejoicing in the provider. I may be hurting, but I'm rejoicing in the healer. I may feel all alone, but I'm rejoicing in the one who can connect me. Hallelujah! I may have fear holding me captive, but I'm rejoicing in him who will take care of me. Come on now. Come on now. Everybody lift your hand up. Just lift your hand up. Just begin to thank God right now. Just begin to receive right now. As you thank God, say, I'm receiving, God. God, I'm receiving. I'm rejoicing and I'm receiving. Let me tell you, rejoicing in God makes it easy to receive. Let me tell you something. When you start rejoicing, you let go of worry. You let go of fear. You let go of anxiety. You let go of, you move past the questions. You move past the reasonings of the mind. You move into the possibilities of God. Hallelujah. Now you can receive. Now you can express faith in God. Now you can lay hold of what God has for you. Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. Say it with me. Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. Laugh at the devil. He thought you weren't going to get it. But ha ha ha. You found the way. You found the way. Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. Come on now. Hallelujah. Ha ha. Ha ha. Ha ha. You say, I don't feel like laughing. Well, just do what I do. I don't feel like laughing either. I'm just going, ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. Let's do it together. Ha 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 ha. Over here. Ha 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 ha. Over here. Ha 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 ha. Oh, in the middle. Ha 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 ha. All together. Ha ha ha. See, it's good practice, isn't it? Hallelujah. Some of you are like, come on now. You're out of practice. You got to learn. You got to practice. You say, well, Brother Yoder, it just doesn't seem very spiritual for me to, ha, ha, ha. I'm going to tell you something. Let me tell you something. Acting in faith on the Word of God is never based on your feelings. Let me tell you something. You got to go on, move on past your feelings. And let me tell you when it's time to quit. After your feelings catch up with you. I said, after your feelings catch up with you. If you do a few little ha ha ha's and there's no change, you need to keep on ha ha ha. Amen. Look at your neighbor and tell him, keep on ha ha. Now look at your other neighbor and say, ha ha ha. Do it again. Ha ha ha. Find somebody else. Ha 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 ha. Now do it four times. Ha 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 ha. Amen. Just get you loosed up. Some of you ought to practice praising God. Some of you just forgot how to be happy. Some of you need to get back in the flow, rejoicing. Joy is like a river. Woo! Down, but Jesus set me free. I said, the devil had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Hallelujah. Woo. Come on now. Some of you, let me tell you something. The Lord spoke to me while I was right over there, and he told me, he said, some people here, they got elbow pains, you got joint pains and all of that. Let me tell you something. Some of you need to be rejoicing in the Lord right now because there's a flow. The Lord told me to tell you to start rejoicing and those pains will go in the name of Jesus. If you got joint pains, just start praising God, moving with God, moving with God, moving with God. Praise Him right now. Praise him right now. Praise him right now. Praise him right now. Yes, hallelujah. Free, free, free indeed. Hallelujah. Ha, 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 ha. The devil's a liar. He told you you're going to be a cripple. But Jesus already spoke the truth long before the devil said that. He said, you are free. 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 Now begin to move and begin to do something that you had pain with before. Check it out. Move that elbow and you'll find the power of God has set you free. In Jesus' name. Ha 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 ha. Somebody here living in fear because the only way I can describe it is the problem with your eyes, that there's like a fluttering going on. Maybe some spots. I don't know exactly what it is, but you've been living with the fear of going blind. But I want you to know, if you lift your hand up, God will set you free. Rejoice! Right now, right now, right now, let it flow. Woo! Begin to rejoice! Rejoice! I said rejoice in the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Lord, you've been so good to me. Isn't that right? Lord, you've been so good to me. Oh yeah. Somebody need to praise the Lord. Lord, you've been so good to us. Hallelujah. You've been so good to me. Yeah, go ahead and say it. Lord, you've been so good to me. Lord, you've been so good to me. Hallelujah. Now say this. You healed my body. You healed my body. Oh, yeah, you healed my body. You set me free. You set me free. Hallelujah. Oh, see, you gotta rejoice until there's a song comes up out of your heart and you start singing to God. He said, well, that's a problem, Brother Yoder. I can't sing. Let me tell you something. I can't sing, but I just did. And I don't really care. The Lord makes it a wonderful sound to him. Don't worry about what other people say. Amen. Don't worry about what other people think. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So you ought to lift your voice because it's pleasing to God. Hallelujah. When you start rejoicing, singing a song of victory. Let me tell you something. Heaven bends low and listens because it delights to hear the voice of praise, the voice of faith. Delights to hear those who rejoice in what Jesus did. Say ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. Well, we're getting there. Let me tell you, you know what the problem was tonight? I was working with a dry well, Brother Bill. Had to prime it. Had to get it going. Woo! Just rejoice in the Lord. Let the living waters flow. Let the living waters flow. Woo! Living waters flowing in my life, overflowing all over me. Woo! Woo!
Hallelujah. See, my feelings are starting to catch up with me. Woo! Yeah. I feel better now. But I sure didn't wait on those feelings. Or I'd still be, I'm here. See if you can bless me. I hope you have a heavy revy because I really need it. No, my friend, listen to me. Sometimes you just got to step out and start praising God. Let me tell you something. The devil wants to pound your mind. He wants to beat you up. He wants to tell you it doesn't work. He wants to tell you you need to do something else because what God told you is not working. Or he'll tell you, you thought you heard from God, but it ain't working. It's obvious you didn't hear from God. Let me tell you something. When the enemy is pounding on you and the heat is turned on high, you know what I'm talking about? Somebody ought to praise the Lord. Somebody ought to praise the Lord. Somebody ought to thank the Lord. When it looks like it's not working out, somebody ought to praise the Lord. Because God always has a plan. God always has a way. God always has one way out of every situation. Hallelujah. 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 Glory.
And I will rejoice.
Yes, 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 yes.
I will rejoice.
Come on, sing it with her.
And be glad.
Sing it to the Lord. Don't just sing with her, but sing to the Lord.
I will rejoice, I will rejoice, and be glad. In the good days and bad days, I will rejoice, I will rejoice, and be glad. Cause he's good, yes he's good, I will rejoice.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you. We rejoice in you. When we don't have anything else to rejoice in, we can always rejoice in you. Hallelujah. You have the answer for everything. We rejoice in you. When we don't know what to do, we rejoice in you. Hallelujah. When we're not where we feel like we need to be in our heart, it seems like there's no doors that's opened up, no way has opened up, we're going to rejoice in you. Hallelujah. When others are coming against us and we get accused of things we didn't do, we're going to rejoice in you. When pain comes to our body and things go wrong, we rejoice in you. When our loved ones aren't living for you, and it seems like they have no interest, Father, we rejoice in you. You are able and willing to reach out your hand. Your arm is not so short, but what it can bring salvation to those who need it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father. Bless these people. Move in their lives as they continue to rejoice in you. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, I hear this. It is as the Spirit says that when you rejoice in the Lord, it is as if you are keeping the door open for heaven's blessings to flow in your life. So keep the door open so that God can move in your life, so that He can bring to you what it is that you need. So don't despair. Don't look to the left or to the right, but lift up your eyes to Him, for it is in Him that you rejoice, and it is in Him that all things come to you. And so, rejoice, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice and be glad in Him. Hallelujah. That's what I heard in my spirit. And I wanted to bring that to you so that you can be encouraged to keep praising and rejoicing in God. Because you see, my friend, this is not a moment in church. This is something you can do tomorrow and on Tuesday and on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. It'll work any day of the week. God has not set one day a week aside for praise, but He's interested in receiving praise any day of the week. Hallelujah. Let us be a people of praise. Let us be a people who rejoice and are glad in our God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It is good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. And so we have prayer team. They're going to come on this side and on that side. If you need prayer for anything, they'll pray with you. And if you have any needs at all, you come, the ladies over here and the men over here. And so we want to encourage you with that. Don't forget Wednesday night, Hour of Power. Pastor will be here, and he'll be bringing a great word for you that you'll need as you continue your journey of faith in God. Amen. Shake hands with somebody and tell them, ha ha, I'm rejoicing in the Lord. And you can be dismissed.